Today's daf is Nida Nun Aleph. I'm just going to say in advance that tomorrow I will not have an opportunity to record the daf after Shabbat, so there won't be a daf on Shabbat. Everyone can learn on their own. Okay, or find some other shiur to learn. Okay, to review yesterday's daf, where we're up to, because it's hard to start in the middle. I'm just going to review. Starting from the very, very bottom of Nun Amud Aleph, okay, we were in the middle of a Mishnah about Pe'ah and Masrot, and from there they all of a sudden jumped to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan about these ulshin, the endives, okay, that were originally meant normally for animals. If he thinks about them, that he wants to eat them, then they can have tumat ochlin, but only once they're detached from the ground. That was the big thing that got us on to the Nevelat of Tahor, which was where they say, we can prove it. Rabbi says, I can prove it from the Mishnah in Tarot. This says, Nevelat of Tahor needs machshava. You need to think if the bird dies, a kosher bird dies on its own without being slaughtered properly. If you think about it, once it's dead, that you want to eat it or give it to somebody to eat, like a kuti, something like that, then it can have tumat ochlin, right? Then it can be susceptible to tuma, although we'll see later they're going to actually explain that it actually is tame. Susceptible to tuma means if a sheretz touches it, right, after water gets on it, and a sheretz touches it, that's normally when we talk about susceptible to tuma. First, it has to have hefsher mayim, or one of the seven liquids. Then something tame, like a sheretz, for example, has to come in contact with it. Okay. Later, we're going to end up explaining that this, first of all, doesn't need hechsher. Why? Because sofo lavo lidei tuma chamura. If you remember, since this nevelat of tahor, normally tumat ochlin is a food can be either a rishon or a sheni, right? Depending on how it became tame, if it became tame from an av or became tame from a rishon, it always goes down a level, and it can only be metame food and drink, but the Ve'elat of Tahor, when it's Bebet Ablia, is an Avatuma. So it can become a much more Chamor Tuma, and therefore it doesn't even need Hechsher. Okay? But now the question is, does it need Machshava? Okay? And later we're going to learn also, just to kind of preface, it doesn't even need a Sheretz to come in contact with it. It, in and of itself, is Tamei Tumat Ochlin, okay? Which is like a weaker. It's not an Avatuma. It's only an Avatuma when it's in your throat. But when it's not in your throat and it's on the side, it can be, it's like a Rishon. It can be Matame Asheni. It can be Matame other food and drink. Okay? Even without a Sheretz coming in contact with it, and even without water. Water, we understand why. Because, what did we say? If Sofo Letame Tuma Chamura. Sofo Letame Tuma Chamura, it doesn't need water to come upon it. But now, we're going to explain. So Rabbi says, yeah.
So somebody's standing there, and he's...
Again, just to review, while it's in your throat, this whole din of Nevelat of Tahor is only Nevelat of Tahor, nothing else. Okay, what we're doing is we're comparing the ulshin, these endives, the fact that your machshave, in order to make them susceptible to tuma, is only once they're detached. It's going to be just like the Nevelat of Tahor, that if you have machshava, the assumption of the Mishnah in Tarot, and it's the assumption Rav is making about the Mishnah, is it says there, Nevelat of Tahor, once this bird is dead, in order for it to become something that could be metame, not when it's Bebet Ablia, but separate from the Bebet Ablia, when it's not in your mouth, you need to have thought, someone's planning to eat this. There has to be machshava about someone eating it. Otherwise, it's not considered food and won't be metame tumat ochlin. Yes, it'll still be metame when it's in Bebet Ablia, but it won't be metame tumat ochlin. So it says there it needs machshava. So what does Rava say? Well, if it needs machshava, think about this bird when it was alive. When it was alive, you were obviously planning to eat it at some point because it's a kosher bird. So therefore, it shows machshevet chayim lo shma machshava, which is analogous to the ulshin that are attached to the ground that need a new machshava, right? In other words, alive is attached to the ground, or while the bird is still alive. It's the same thing. But then the Gemara rejects that and says, no. You could explain that the Nevelat of Tahor was a unique case, and it gives some examples. I'm not going to go through everything. I'm just reviewing. That you could say that it was a case where the bird wasn't in front of you until it was dead, and you didn't have machshava ever to eat it because you never saw the bird before. So that's why, right? Which you can really only say with a bird, because right, a bird could come out of nowhere, right? And then other items are probably right in front of you before they die. But this kind of flew out of somewhere, and that's why. Okay? So basically, they say that's not a good proof. But then, once they're on this Mishnah, they bring a Braita. Once they're on the Mishnah Tarot about the Nevelat of Tahor, they bring a Braita that talks about a machloket about whether you need machshava for nevelat of tahor or not. So what it said in the Mishnah Tarot is a subject of debate between Rabbi Yochanan ben Yuri and Chachamim. And that's what we left in the middle of, which is, what's the source of debate? One says, Chachamim say you need machshava, just like the Mishnah Tarot said. Once it dies, right, you have to have a machshava about it to say, if, for it to become tameh, tumat ochlin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Yuri says it doesn't need machshava. Okay, you don't need to want to eat it. Even if you're planning to feed it to your dog, it could still be tamei tumat ochlin. So now the question is why. So we're going to start six lines from the bottom of Nun Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Yuri, kal vachomer. Okay, eventually the request is, why is this here? Eventually we're going to get back to our Mishnah. Okay, that's why this is here. Or actually the previous Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Yuri, kal vachomer im mitam'a tum'a chamora shelo b'machshava. Lo titamei tum'a kala shelo b'machshava. If this nevelat of tahor, while it's bebeda bliya, let's say you didn't have any intent to eat it, or you didn't have any intent, you didn't even know it was a nevelat of tahor, while it's in your throat, it's navatuma. So here, it's mitami tuma chamor without machshava. In other words, again, what are we comparing? We're comparing two different types of tumot. We're comparing tuma beta bliya, which is the chamor tuma, because it's an avatuma when it's bebeda bliya, versus tumat ochlin, which is a weak form of tumah, which is that the food has tumah and can pass it on, right? It's a rishon. Okay? This is an avatumah, okay? So one is more chamor than the other, right? So if the tumah chamura doesn't need machshava, right, which we said, right, doesn't need machshava when it's bebeda bliya, no matter what, you're going to be metame. So the tumah ochlin, which is a weaker kind of tumah, all the more so, it shouldn't need machshava. Okay, makes sense. If you don't even need machshava for the higher level tumah, you're certainly not going to need it for the lower level tumah. That's their kal vachomer. Here comes the part that was tricky. Amru lo, what is Chachamim's response? They say, lo, this was all a quote from the Braita. Im amarta b'tumah chamura shekein eina yoredet lakach. Tumah chamura eina yoredet lakach versus tumah kala that is yoredet lakach. Now, we don't know what that means yet. All we know is there's some tzad chamur in tumat ochlin, and because it's a tzad chamor, maybe we'll say it needs machshava, even though tumat ochlin tumat chamura bebeit habliya doesn't need machshava. Okay, that's going to be the logic here. So the question is, what's the tzad chamor that they're saying that exists in tumat kala that because of that we might need machshava? So we're going to have three answers. The first two are going to end up being rejected. Amara. This is what they meant. Oh, sorry. My ena yored elakach. What does this mean? Ena yored elakach. So amarava hachi kamrele. This is what they meant. Lo, im amarta b'tuma chamura shekein ena osa kayotseba. Okay. What does that mean? The person who's eating, who ate the nevelat of tahor, he's tame after he eats it, but he's not metame adam. He's only metame foods. Okay, so in the tuma chamura, the adam can't be mitame kayotzebo, someone just like him. Tomar b'tuma kala sheosa kayotzeba, but the food that became tame tumat ochlin could be mitame other foods. Foods can be mitame foods, right? If a food becomes a rishon, it came in contact with an avatuma, it can be mitame a sheni. If it's a sheni, it can be mitame truma, food that's a shlishi. So tumah kala has this tzad chamor that it's strong enough to be metame things that are like it, whereas the tumah chamora can't. Okay, so that's what they're saying. So Amar le'Abaye, kol shekein hu. He says, what do you mean? Your logic should be flipped. And that's, again, what's the logic? Because it has its tzad chamor, maybe it also needs machshava. So he says that whole logic is wrong. Uma tumah chamora dekila de'ein osa kayotze bo metame shalom v'machshava. If tumah chamura, which is more kal, we just said, because that person can't be mitame kayotzebo, another person, and it's mitame shelo b'machshava, okay, doesn't need machshava to make it tame. Well, now the logic can go the exact opposite, which is, well, it doesn't need machshava to make it tame because it's a lighter form of tumah, but tumah kala de chamira de osa kayotzeba einu din shemitame shelo b'machshava. So now they're going to say, you could say the exact opposite, which is something that's more chamor, maybe it needs machshava. In other words, again, you could flip this logic on its side. You could say both. But what Abai is saying is you could theoretically say, if it's more chamor, which we're now saying, right, it's ironic, we're saying the tumah kala is more chamor, right? It has its tzad chamor shebo. We could say, well, the more so, it needs machshava because it's more chamor. Okay, so therefore, he says that's not good logic. So he knocks out the kavachomer, and then, right, he knocks out that explanation of the kavachomer. So we're back to square one. What is this? You know, what's the logic? He does knock out the kavachomer. He knocks out the rejection of the kavachomer by chachamim, the explanation we brought. So now we have to bring a different explanation for chachamim. Ela amarav sheshet. Sheshet says like this. Hachi kamar. This is what the rabbi said. Lo. Im amarta b'tumah chamura shekein einat zricha hechsher. Tumah chamura, what do we learn? Again, back to the beginning of the class. What do we say? If something's so full of olidei tumah chamura, it doesn't need hechsher. Right? So tumah chamura doesn't need hechsher. There's something that's very chamura, this tumah b'beit habliya, the oph tahor, while it's in your throat. If it never came in contact with liquids before you put it in your mouth, it's totally tummy, right? It doesn't need hechsher. Tomar b'tumah kala, shetzricha hechsher. But you could say that tumah kala would need hechsher. And if it would need hechsher, then it would need machshava. Okay? So that's his logic. Wait a minute. I think I explained something wrong before. I think I got confused. Hold on one second. Sorry, I think I explained something in Abaye wrong. Abaye's logic goes like this. He says, Tumah chamura that's kal, that doesn't do kayotze bo, is matama shalob and machshava, right? You can be matama even without thinking about it. So tumah kala that's more chamur, ain't odin shem matama shalob and machshava, wouldn't we think it also doesn't need machshava? I said the reverse. I said the reverse logic. Sorry. Wouldn't you think that if something is more chamur, all the more so, it would be mitame without machshava. Let me just think about the logic there. Sorry, I got confused with the switching the logic. He's basically saying, the more chamor something is, the less likely it's going to need machshava, is what he's saying, right? Rava was saying the more likely it'll need machshava, and he's saying, if it's more chamor, all the more so, it doesn't even need machshava. What is machshava? Machshava turns something into significant. What he's saying is, something that's more chamor doesn't need to be called significant, it's already significant. That's Abaye's logic, his counter logic. So he says, therefore, it would all the more so push you to say that it doesn't need machshava. Okay? So again, right, chachamim, we need an argument for chachamim to say that, right, what are they saying? Im amarta b'tumah chamura, it doesn't need machshava, but we would say it needs machshava in tumat ochlin. Okay? So Abaye was saying, no, the opposite would be true. If you're going to say it's more chamur, well, the less likely that it needs machshava because it's already significant, it therefore doesn't need the machshava. Okay, so back to Rav Sheshet. So now Rav Sheshet says, "Im amarta b'tuma chamura shekein eina tzricha hechsher." So again, in tuma chamura, it doesn't need hechsher, doesn't need, and therefore, tomar b'tuma kala shetzricha hechsher. So we would say tuma kala needs hechsher, and because it needs hechsher, this doesn't have to do with a tzag chamur shebo or anything else. Because it needs hechsher, it therefore needs machshava. Okay, we're going to say these two things work together. You could say, right? So again, Tuma Beit HaBliya doesn't need machshava. Well, comes Chachamim and say, right, and therefore you would think that Tumat Ochlin doesn't need machshava. We're going to say, no. Tuma Beit HaBliya doesn't need machshava, and it also doesn't need hechsher, but Tumat Ochlin needs hechsher, and therefore we would assume also needs machshava. And that's what they're trying to say. That's Rav Sheshet. So now the Gemara is going to question this. Umitzricha hechsher. Now, what's the second, right? The first is Tumah Beit HaBliya, and the second is Nevelat Of, when it's not in your mouth, right? When it's the fact that it's Metami Tumat Ochlin. So now they say, does Nevelat Of, Tahor, Umit Tzricha Hechsher, does it need Hechsher to be Metami Tumat Ochlin? Okay, and they're assuming it needs Hechsher. Didn't we say it doesn't need Hechsher because anything that's so full of Olidei Tumah Chamura doesn't need Hechsher? We learned that in the Mishnah. So the premise of what he's saying is incorrect. This is the Mishnah we quoted yesterday. First Mishnah in Tarot. Sricha machshava ve'ena metama ela bebeit habliya. It needs machshava, number one. It's not metame bebeit habliya, number two. And, and it's ena metama ela bebeit habliya, right? That's when it has avatuma status. Remember, a nevela behema is avatuma, not when it's in beit habliya, right? And it's an avatuma anywhere. The Nevelat Of Tahor is only going to be an avatuma when it's in your throat. And Eina Tzricha Hechsher. What do you see here? It says Tzricha Machshava, but it says Eina Tzricha Hechsher. It doesn't need Hechsher. So they're therefore going to say, what do you mean? How could you say Nevelat of Tahor is Tricha Hechsher? The Mishnah says it doesn't need Hechsher. So now they're going to say, wait. There's two types of Hechsher that it needs. Okay, there's two types of Hechsher we're discussing. Hechsher Maim, and what I mentioned in the beginning of class, Hechsher Sheretz. Okay, which means, right, normally, like I said, Tumat Ochlin means something is susceptible to Tumah, meaning first water has to get on it, or some liquid, or... And I'm sorry, and then a sheretz needs to touch it. It needs two hechsherim in order to become tameh. So now they're going to say, when it says ena tzricha hechsher, it doesn't mean, again, this is to support Rav Sheshet, the tumat ochlin tzricha hechsher. I'm going to say like this. When it says ena tzricha hechsher, it means nehide hechsher sheretz lo baya, hechsher mayim baya. It does need liquid to get on it. It just doesn't need a sheretz to touch it. So you have this piece of nevelat of tahor on the side. Once water comes in contact with it, again, normally food, water would have to come in contact with it, then a sheretz. Nevelat of tahor, as soon as water comes in contact with it, or one of the seven liquids, it immediately becomes tameh on its own. It carries its own tumah. Again, it's not an avatumah like a nevelat behema, but it is a tumah. And according to this, they're going to assume when it says ena tzricha hechsher, we're going to reject this soon, but they assume ena tzricha hechsher means it doesn't need hechsher sheretz. But it does need hechsher mayim. Again, then what do we say? It comes back to Kal v'chomer, according to Rav Sheshet. Tumat Beit HaBliya doesn't need hechsher and doesn't need machshava. But Tumat Ochlin of Nevela, Tumat Ochlin, needs hechsher and therefore would necessarily need machshava. And that's Chachamim's rejection of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who said it doesn't need machshava. So, now they say, Maishna hechsher sheretz delo baya, kiditani tebe Rabbi Yishmael. They say the whole logic, the whole premise of the fact that it doesn't need hechsher sheretz is learned from the following braita. And from this braita, you can also learn it doesn't need hechsher mayim. And that's how they're going to prove it doesn't need either hechsher mayim or hechsher sheretz. Here's the braita. Ditana debe Rabbi Yishmael. Here's a pasuk about things that are machshir lekabel tumah. Al kol zera zerua asher yizareah. And that's how it has to come in contact with water. It's talking about what's the subject? Zra'im, seeds, things that grow. Ma zra'im she'ein sofan l'tamei tum'a chamua tzrichin hechsher. Af kol she'ein sofan l'tamei tum'a chamua tzrichin hechsher. Okay, meaning it has to be like zera in order to need hechsher. What's unique about zra'im? That they'll never become an avatumah. Zra'im can never become an avatumah, right? A person can become an avatumah. Nevela can become an avatuma, but things that grow in the ground can't become an avatuma. And those need hechsher. Therefore, this is where we get this halacha from, that anything that's sofo, the tamei tumah chamura, that could potentially become an avatuma, will not need hechsher. Now, the hechsher they're talking about here is going to be both hechsher mayim and hechsher sheretz. Yatzta, and here the braita says, yatzta nevelat of tahor, shesofa l'tamei tumah chamura, she'ein sarich hechsher. Now, you can't say, ein sarich hechsher means, it's not talking about water. The whole pasuk is the pasuk about the liquids. So therefore, we can't say, again, what are we stuck with? Rav Sheshet tried to say, tumat ochlin, or tzricha hechsher, and therefore tzricha machshava. That was Chachamim's argument. Right now, we're now saying, no, nevelat of tahor, as tumat ochlin, is not tzricha hechsher. Okay, it doesn't need hechsher, and therefore we can't say that that's the answer. Ella Amar Rava, we're finally getting to the end here. Be'item or Papa. Okay, either Rava said it. Remember, he was the one who gave the first explanation, so either he gave a new explanation, or Item or Papa said this. Shum tuma chamura ba'olam, shum tuma kala ba'olam. When they're comparing tumat beit habliya to tumat ochlin, yes, our topic was nevelat of tahor, but what they mean is Tuma Beit HaBliya, which is Tuma Chamura, okay? And Tuma Chamura, what did we say? Doesn't need Machshava, okay? When they compare that to Tumat Ochlin, they're not comparing it to Tumat Ochlin of Nevelat of Tahor. They're comparing it to regular Tumat Ochlin, which needs Hechsher, okay? So now we're going to go back to saying, we're going to explain, kind of like Rav Sheshet, it's a variation of Rav Sheshet, but the second part, the comparison that they make to Tumat Ochlin, isn't a Nevelat of Tahor itself. Because Nevelat of Tahor is Tumat Ochlin is not going to need Hechsher or not going to need Machshava because it's so full of Tamei Tumah Chamura. But a regular food item, a Tumah Kala, a regular food item is Tumat Ochlin, needs Hechsher and therefore needs Machshava. And therefore, now you have to make the jump because we do need to go back ultimately to Nevelat of tahor, since generally tumat ochlin need hechsher, even though they don't in a nevelat of tahor case, we're going to then assume that all tumat ochlin need machshava, even in the nevelat of tahor case, which then goes back to explaining that's why when the of dies, you have to have machshava that you're planning to eat it in order for it to become susceptible to tumah. Now, you wouldn't need liquid to come upon it. You would just need to think, I want to eat this, and immediately it's come in. Then it carries tumah. Now, not ava tumah like an avela behema, but it does have tumah. Okay, that was all that explanation. Okay, so now we still haven't gotten to where this connects to us. So this was all this digression we got off on because of the ulshin, right? We started with the ulshin and how only once you take them out of the ground, are they going to, right, is your machshava effective? So Amar Rava, going back to that statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Umoda Rabbi Yochanan le'inya maser de machshevet chibor shma machshava. He agrees that when it comes to maser, you're going to be chayav masrot. Okay, now you're only chayav maser on food, if you remember, only on dagan tirosh and yitzhar. The rabbis extended it to all other sorts of foods. Now you'll know why we're getting to this, because our mishnah was about masrot. So now he says, when it comes to maser, if you take something that really isn't normally used for food for human beings, but while it's attached to the ground, you think, I'm going to eat this, you're going to be chayav maser. In other words, machshevet chibor shma machshava. So when he said, Rabbi Yochanan, that when it comes to the olshin, the endives, which are not edible generally, you don't eat them, and then you thought, I'm going to eat them, they can be susceptible to tumah only if your machshava happened after you detach them from the ground. That's when it comes to tumat ochlin. But when it comes to maskot, as soon as you think about while they're in the ground, I plan to use these for food, then they're already chayav in maser. Okay? So that's the difference between maser and tumah. That's the whole reason why we got into tumah in the first place, because we're going to compare it to maser. Amarava mina aminala. Where do I get this from? So he says, ditnan, says in the Mishnah, okay, this is a Mishnah in maskot, Hase'ah v'ha'izov, ha'kornit shebachatzer. Im hayu nishmarim chayavim. Okay, if they were protected, they're chayavim. So these are types of plants that generally aren't eaten. Hechidami, what's the case? Ilema dizarinu mitchila la'adam tzricha lememar. If these were generally planted for the purposes of human consumption, you wouldn't need the Mishnah to tell you this halacha. Obviously, if they're nishmarim, they're chayavim, right? They're obviously chayavim. Elalav, it must be dizarinu mitchila lebehema, and then vekatani imayunish marim chayavim. And what's he trying to tell you? As long as you have the machshava, it doesn't matter. They were attached to the ground when you had the machshava. The machshava is effective, and that's what the chidush of that mission is, and that's where he gets it from. So Amar Rav Ashi, hacha bechatzer sha'alu me'alehen askinan ustama la'adam kaime. He says, this is actually talking about a chatzer that where they grew on their own, that nobody planted them, and stama, they are for human consumption. V'hachi ka'amar. Im ha'chatzir mishameret peroteha, chayavim v'im lav pturim. And what it's trying to teach you is, if the chatzir was protected, now that since they grew on their own, if they grew on their own, and the chatzir is not a protected chatzir, then it's hefker, and then they're not going to be chayav v'maser. But if the chatzir was protected, you kind of watched over that chatzir, then you're going to be chayav to give the maskot on that. In which case, Rav Ashi is basically saying, Rava, your proof is not a proof at all. This has nothing to do with our topic. Right? In other words, Rava was trying to say, this has to do with our topic, that it was all about, were they meant for human consumption? Did you think about them for human consumption? Rav Ashi says, no, these things are always meant for human consumption. There's a bit of a debate about the reality of the case, and therefore it has nothing to do with our topic, and the whole thing is just a matter of, was it hefker or not hefker, because they grew on their own. Mativ Rav Ashi. And now Rav Ashi actually questions Rava based on our Mishnah, and that's why we're finally, okay, this took a whole daf to get back to where we started. What does it have to do with anything? So he says, Rava, I don't understand your opinion. Again, what's Rava's opinion? If right, the machshevet chibur is machshava when it comes to maasrot. Matav Rav Ashi, koch shechayavim b'maasrot, mitam'im tumat ochlin. This was the previous Mishnah we saw. Right, I don't know why they didn't mention the previous Mishnah. We're now, I'm sure you don't remember, we're in the middle of the Mishnah that compares pe'ah and maasrot. But this is going back to the Mishnah right before it, which was koch shechayav b'maasrot, mitam'im tumat ochlin, v'yesh mitam'im tumat ochlin, v'eino chayav b'maasrot. So now he says like this. So kol shechayavim b'masrot, anything that's chayav b'maser, or mitamim tumat ochlin. V'im ita, if you're right, Rava, what did Rava say? Right? That these olshin that you had a machshava while they were attached to the ground would be, you'd be chayav b'masrot and you wouldn't be chayav tumat ochlin. That would be a perfect case that would defy the law mentioned in the Mishnah. So ha'ika, hane, de kachayavim b'maser ve'ein matamim tumat ochlin. There would be items that are chayav b'maser and not matamim tumat ochlin, which would be olshin, that, right, food that was not meant for human consumption, and while they were attached to the ground, you thought of them for human consumption. They'd be chayav b'maser, they wouldn't be chayav b'maser, and tumat ochlin, they wouldn't become susceptible to tuma, and that would reject. Our Mishnah basically rejects Rava. So, Amar Rava, what does Rava say to support himself? Hachi kamar. He says, the Mishnah's not talking about unique cases, whether it's attached while you had the machshava or not attached. No, no. It's talking about food categories. It's talking about meat, you know, is it vegetables, right? We're talking about food categories. We're not talking about specific cases, whether you had machshava or you didn't have machshava. And that's why this doesn't, my opinion doesn't go against the Mishnah, because that wasn't the Mishnah's focus. The Mishnah's focus was just types of foods. And therefore, this has nothing to do with anything. And here he further proves that that's the case by quoting the next Mishnah. Hachinami, the next Mishnah we haven't read yet. Hachinami mistabra mitikatani seifa. It says in the next Mishnah, kol shechayav bereshit hagez, chayav b'matanot. Okay, it's going to be any type of animal. Any type of animal that you're chayav on the first shearings, those are sheep. You're chayav b'matanot. You also have to give the matanot of the zroa, l'chayayim, and keva, the three parts that go to the kohen when you slaughter the animal. V'yesh chayav b'matanot, but there are animals that you're chayav to give matanot for, ve'ein chayav reshit hagez. Reshit hagez is just for sheep. It's not for goats. It's not for cows and other. So therefore, okay, and this is v'im ita. Now, if you wanted to say that it doesn't just mean types of animals, but it also means situations with particular animals, ha'ika treifa. You could again have an exception to what the Mishnah says, which is a treifa, an animal that's about to die, right, that's sick. Dechayevet bereshit hagez, ve'en achayevet matanot. Why isn't achayevet matanot? Well, first of all, it's not, matanot is only when you slaughter a kosher animal. This animal's not kosher for eating, it's a treifa. So you're not chayevet matanot. So there you would have something that defied the Mishnah. So obviously, he says, it must be only talking about types of animals. Likewise, in our Mishnah, it's only talking about types of foods and not unique situations. So this isn't a great proof. Ravina says, I'm Ravina, Hamane Rabbi Shimon. You could actually say that the Mishnah holds like Rabbi Shimon. It is talking about situations. Ditznan, Rabbi Shimon, poterata trefa me reshita gez. Rabbi Shimon thinks the trefa isn't even chayiv in reshita gez. Na chayiv in matanota, na chayiv in reshita gez. And therefore, that situation wouldn't defy the Mishnah, which means maybe the Mishnah is referring to the situation, situations in general. And this Mishnah just happens to follow Rabbi Shimon, in which case we'd be left with the question, I'm Rava. But Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, he's going to now bring a different proof for Rava. Tashma, Hamafkir et Karmo, Vishkim Baboker Ubitsaho, Chayav Biperet Uba Olalot Ubashikha Ubipea. If you're Mafkir your Karim, this is like a good way to get out of all sorts of halachot, you say, oh, you know, I don't really care, I'll give my Karim to anybody. Okay, you basically say, I have no more rights to this Karim. Now, what happens? Well, anyone can be Zochet to your Karim at this point. Now, if you do it, and then you get up early the next morning, and you say, I'm owning back all of this carrot. So, and then you start taking your, harvesting your grapes. Your chayav b'peret uba'olalot u'b'shicha u'b'peya u'pator min ha'maser. This is a great way to get out of maser. All the other halachot, you're still chayav, including pe'ah. This is important. But you're not chayav in maser. Now, ha'anantnan, didn't we say in the Mishnah, kol shechayav b'peah chayav b'masrot? And this would be a case, again, a situation, not a type of fruit or vegetable. It's a situation, if you did the following, you'd be chayav in peah and pator from masrot. And the Mishnah says there is no such situation if we say the topic of the Mishnah is situations. Therefore, el alav shmamina min katane shmamina. It must be, it's talking about types and not situations. And with that, we finish this section, and right, we're done with that. Okay, so this was all brought to kind of you, because our Mishnah provided a problem to what they were saying. Okay, Tznan Hatam. Now we're quoting another Mishnah. Modim Chachamim l'Rabbi Akiva b'zorei shevet o chardal b'shnayim u'shlosha mekamot shenotem pe'am mikol echad ve'echad. Okay, here's a machloket from Chachamim or Rabbi Kiva in a different place about if you're zorea shevet or chardal. These are types of spices. Shevet is dill and chardal is mustard seed. In two or three different places. In other words, you had in a field different areas. You had different sections of it. You would have to give pe'ah mikol echad ve'echad. Okay? In the situation, okay, there's a debate about whether it's other stuff, but specifically when it comes to these spices, you'd have to do pe'ah separately on each one because they're considered separate from each other. Now, what do you see from here? It doesn't really matter what the topic of the debate is, but ha-shevet emachayev pe'ah. Okay? Shevet is something that you're chayev pe'ah for shevet. Okay? Ve mechayev b'maser. And you're chayev b'maser. Okay? Ditnan kol shechayav b'pe'ah chayav b'maser. Umidechayev b'maser mitame tumat ochlin. So what are they going to say here? So since it's chayav, okay, now we have anything that's chayav in pe'ah is chayav b'maser, because that's what it says. And then we said, since something's chayav b'maser, it's mitame tumat ochlin, because what did we say? Anything that's chayav b'maser is mitame tumat ochlin. So now we take this category of spices, and we say spices, this spice, is, you know, number one, chayav b'pe'ah. That we have the Mishnah. Based on the one Mishnah, it says chayav b'pe'ah, it's chayav b'maser. Based on the other Mishnah, it says chayav b'maser, it's chayav b'tumat ochlin. So now they're going to say, alma komidi de avid letama mitame tumat ochlin. So now we're going to say, therefore, what can you infer from here? That anything that's just giving flavor, like a spice, is mitame tumat ochlin. Dehai shevet litama avida. Right? Because shevet, we know, is just a spice. Okay? Dill is a spice. And if it's a spice, it's going to prove to you that even spices can be mitame tumat ochlin. Now, we thought mitame tumat ochlin only if it's actually food, not spices. So now they say, urimini, this conclusion, okay? So that din that they just learned contradicts the following source. Okay, it's a mission in Uktin. Hakosht v'achimum v'rashe b'samim v'ateah v'achilti v'apilpulin v'chalat chariah. Okay, these are all different spices. I'm not going to enter the details of what kind of spices they are. Most of the names won't mean so much to you. When the kosht is in the Ktoret HaSamim, if you remember, and the chiltit is from the celery family, pilpulim or pilpulim. Some of the others, it's hard to, I didn't really recognize the names of what they are. Nikhim b'kesef ma'aser ve'ei metamim tumat ochlin. What are these things? Okay, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, when you get to, you remember the Maaser Sheni, you take your fruits, you have to bring them to Yerushalayim, but because it's too far to schlep, so you redeem it onto money. When you get to Yerushalayim, you have to buy items that could have been Maaser Sheni, right, with the money. You can buy these spices for Maaser Sheni, okay? However, they're not Mitame Tumat Ochlin. He says those two things should be interconnected. If you can buy kesef maaser sheni, then why are they not mitame tumat ochlin? You know, either you consider them food, and then they should be food all the way. And if they're not mitame ba ochel, you shouldn't then be able to buy. Nimnu v'gamru, okay, they got up and they voted. She'ein nikhim b'kesef maaser ve'ein mitamim tumat ochlin. Okay, he says, in fact, they decided then they're not either. They're not considered food. So Amar Rav Chista, Kitanya. So now, what's the problem? This contradicts what we said because, what did we say? We said that these are not food and we said the shevet is considered food, right? It's counted as mitamim tumat ochlin. So Amar Rav Chista, Kitanya hayi b'shevet ha'asuya l'kamach. Okay, Rashi says kamach is kutach, which is this, my favorite food. It's this spoiled, it's like a yogurt-y type of food with breadcrumbs and salt, and it has all sorts of halachic ramifications for Pesach because it has chametz in it, and salt, so it has all these dinim when we talk about salting things. And now we're going to learn it also has spices in it. The dill is used, but the dill there functions as a food and not as a spice. Okay, I don't know exactly how that works, but in this dish, whatever it was, whether it was a kutach or something else, I don't remember, by the way, ever hearing about kutach having dill in it. Right? It always has these other things that are important, but maybe it just was never relevant to the discussion, so it wasn't like they were telling us, here's a recipe for kutach. It's just, toch kedei all sorts of diyunim, you learn what kutach has in it. Oh, and by the way, it's chalavi. That's another relevance of it, because it has this spoiled milk in it, or something spoiled, something that's kind of yogurt-like. So anyway, he says that specifically when he talks about it in our context, when we quoted it before, that was the ones that was actually used for food. Amarav Ashi, Amarita the Shmate Kameja Rav Kahana, Lo Tam, and as I said the following in front of Rav Kahana, Lo Tama Beshevet Hasuya Likmach, Hastama Likdera, Elastam Shevet Likmach Hasuya. Don't even, he says even more so. It's not just that this was said about Shevet that was specifically used for Kutach or Kamach, whatever it is, and therefore you would say, but if it's Stam Dil, it wouldn't be. No, no, no. Any Stam Dil is mostly used for this Kamach. So therefore, Stam Dil is actually considered not a spice, but actually considered food. How do we know this? Ditnan, as it says in the following Mishnah, Hashevet Mishenatna Tam Bekdera, if you take a shevet and you cook it up and it's already given its flavor and then you take it out of the pot and then it's removed, it's now flavorless, it's no longer going to be chayv truma and it's not matami tumat ochlin. What does that seem to imply though? Ha'ad shelo natnatam b'gedera, before you took out its flavor, yesh b'mishum truma u'metame tumat ochlin, which means, again, we don't treat it like a regular spice, because regular spices aren't chayav in truma namasrot, and they're not metame tumat ochlin. So this proves, right, v'i salkadata, stama l'gedera, ki lo natna nami, stama l'gedera, right? In other words, if you would have thought stama l'gedera, and if it didn't give flavor, right, again, you would have assumed that it wouldn't be, it would just be a spice, and therefore lalav shmamina stama lekama chasuya shmamina. Okay, we assume all stam shevet is used for food and not used just for spice. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we go to this Mishnah that we mentioned. Kol shachayav bereshit hagez chayav b'matanot v'yesh chayav b'matanot v'enu chayav bereshit hagez. Okay, this is what we said already, right? There's sheep that are chayav in reshit hagez, and they're also obviously chayav in all the matanot when you slaughter it, but other animals like cows and, you know, all the cattle and goats are not chayav reshit hagez, but they are chayav v'matanot. Kol sheyesh lo bi'ur, yesh lo shvi'it. V'yesh sheyesh lo shvi'it v'ein lo bi'ur. Okay, kedushat shvi'it, that's in the Shemitah year. If you remember what happens in the Shemitah year, it says lecha ulebehem techa. The food is, you can eat it, and it's for your animals to eat. Lecha ulebehem techa leochla. So now they say as soon as there's nothing outside in the fields anymore, you have to get rid of everything in your house. There's a whole debate exactly how you get rid of it. Are you mafkir? Do you have to destroy it? Different options. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. But the point is, there's certain things that have the laws of Shvi'it attached to them, but they don't have to. You don't have to do bi'ur. Kigon, aleh alof shota, that's one type of thing, the leaves of alof shota, and hadandina, yesh sheyesh lo shvi'it, that has both, okay, the alim, both have laws of shvi'it, and you have to get rid of them in your house, yesh sheyesh lo shvi'it, ve'en lo biur, and what's that? Ikar halof shota, ve'ikar hadandina, but the root of them, why? Because the root never, right, the roots people would cook up, but the roots don't get eaten, they're always there, right? The roots kind of stay, right? It means like the stems. The stems don't, they're still there. Even when the fruits and the veg, you know, the what comes out of it isn't there anymore, the leaves, once there's no more, but the stems and the roots are still there, and therefore those don't ever need bi'ur if you have them in your house. Right? These will never be gone in the field, and therefore you don't have to get rid of them. Next Mishnah. If there's a fish that has scales, it definitely has fins. There's some that have fins, but ain't lo kaskeset. There are those that have horns. Yesh lo tlafayim. These again, simanim of kashrut. They necessarily have hooves. V'yesh yesh lo tlafayim. There are some that have hooves though. V'ein lo karnayim and don't have horns. So kol sheyesh lo kaskeset dag tahor. Yesh yesh lo snapir. V'ein lo kaskeset dag tameh. Right. If it has a kaskeset, then it necessarily has fins, which means if it has scales, we know it has fins, which means it's kosher. But if it has fins but no scales, then it's not kosher. So now they ask the question, we had this whole sugya already, I seem to remember this in Chulin, Michde ana nakas keset samchinan, snapir katakata rahman al amali. Well, if something has scales, then we know it has fins, so why didn't the Torah just say anything that has scales? And we would have known, right? Ilo kata, so we would have known fins, because, right, we wouldn't have matir the wrong animals, so why do they have to say both? So they say, Ilo kata rahman snapir havamina, my kaskeset dichtiv snapir. You might have not known what kaskeset was. Okay, this is all, how do we know what kaskeset means? The reason you know what kaskeset is because it says kaskeset and snapir. Now you know, oh, snapir is fins and kaskeset is scales. You might have thought maybe kaskeset is fins. And then a filu dag tameh, right? You might have thought, oh, well then, if you see something with fins, you'll think it's okay. And it's not. Therefore, kata rahman snapir bekaskeset. So now they say, "V'hashe katakav rachmana snapir b'kaskeset minalan dekaskeset levushahu." Okay, that helped. Why we need two? But how do you know which was which? How do you know kaskeset is the scales that are levush? It's really like the clothes that are on the fish, right? Because it covers the whole fish, as opposed to fins, which are not clothing; they're just kind of attached. Dichtiv b'shuryon kaskasim hu levush. Okay, this is a pasuk about in Shmuel Aleph about Goliath. Okay, and it talks about a shiryon, it was kaskasim, so it seems like it's a levush. The lift of Rahmana kaskeset, the low bias napir. So if we know what kaskeset is, it could have just said, could have back to square one. We don't need to say snapir. I'm a Rabbi Abao, v'chein tana d'bei Rabbi Yishmael, yadil Torah v'yadil. Right? We wanted to learn more Torah. So they wanted to teach us more things, so they said it explicitly, that those are the two simanim, because really, you need kaskeset and snapirim, it's just that once you have a kaskeset, you know there's snapirim. So you don't really need it, but they wanted to teach you. Okay, last thing for today. Everything that needs a bracha achrona after you finish eating needs a bracha rishona before you finish eating. Or maybe I shouldn't say eating, we'll see. But yesh ta'um bracha lefanav ve'ein ta'um bracha lacharav. There are certain things that need a bracha before you do it. Doesn't necessarily mean food, but doesn't need a bracha after. So they say, la tuye mai, what are we talking about? La tuye yerek. Ula Rabbi Yitzchak. We're going to learn all sorts of interesting shitot right now. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, he thought, "Mevarech ayerek." He says, include yerek, okay, to say that yerek needs a bracha lepanav and doesn't need a bracha lacharav. Meaning, some people thought you don't need a bracha acharona on vegetables. Then they say, "Ula Rabbi Yitzchak, Mevarech ayerek." He thought you do need a bracha acharona on vegetables. So la tu yemai. So what's it coming to include? Right? We obviously passed him like Rabbi Yitzchak that you need a bracha acharona b'rein pashrut after vegetables, but some people thought not. So then, according to him, what's this Mishnah coming to include? La tu yemaya, that you don't need a bracha acharona after water. Okay. Now again, we don't paskin this way. We do say a bracha acharona after water. Ula Rav Papa, Mevarech hamaya la tu yemai. So what about according to Rav Papa that you do make a bracha acharona on water? What's it coming to include? Mitzvot. It must be talking about not food. Okay, now we leave the food category. It must be talking about mitzvot. Before you do a mitzvah, right? You bench on lulav. Make a bracha before. You don't make a bracha after. We learned this once before, if you remember. When they would take off their tefillin, they make a bracha. Lishmor chukav, where did we talk about this? We talked about it in the context of the Uval Etzion. Says in the tefillah Uval Etzion that we say at the end of tefillah, it says something about lishmor chukav. And it comes from the fact that at the end, when they took off their tefillin, some people say we say it because people used to make this bracha when they took off their tefillin. That's why it's the end of davening. La tuye mai, la tuye rechani, spices. Spices, you make a bracha before, but you don't make a bracha after.